Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
To the Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, just to clean this up a little bit, we talked about Kelvin Sampson interviewing with the Milwaukee Bucks, or at least talking to the Milwaukee Bucks. Apparently, according to Chris Pesman, he's got a deal on the table that would make Kelvin Sampson one of the 15 highest paid college coaches in the country. Right now, he is set to make $3.4 million in 2023-24. The highest paid, the 15th highest paid coach in the country this year is going to be Ed Cooley from Providence at $3.8 million. So I don't know where he's going, if it's just going to be the 15th high, top 15. Now, Bob Huggins is in that top eight at 4.2, and we know he's taking a pay cut, so he may be down, may push that down, but it looks like there's somewhere around, if it's going to be a top 15, there's somewhere around a $500,000 raise in there for Kelvin Sampson, and that's on the table according to Chris Pesman, the athletic director. He's not saying what the raise will be. All he's saying is he's outperformed and he's earned to be better compensated. The thought is he'd be a top 15 coach in the country.
Well, that's deserved for sure.
Well, let me ask you this. Should he be paid more than Kevin Willard at Maryland?
Yes.
Tommy Lloyd at Arizona?
Yes.
Dana Altman at Oregon?
Yes.
Buzz Williams at A&M?
Yes.
Eric Musselman at Arkansas?
Now Buzz is one of these things where you can say he deserves to be.
But
it's hard because he's at A&M.
A&M. With that overpay.
I mean, it's easy in a vacuum just to say, yes, but Houston has to come up with this money. It's harder for Houston than A&M. It's not a level playing field like the NBA where the salaries, this is different.
Yep.
You have to acknowledge this is different because A&M is going to make substantially more based on a large degree of factors, including TV revenue.
And let's face it, while Houston is competing at the highest level with the best teams, Calipari, Self, Izzo, Barnes, Bruce Pearl, Tony Bennett, even Brad Underwood coach at places that are going to pay more. UCLA, Mick Cronin. Is making 4.1. They're just going to pay more because they are, for the most part, blue bloods in the sport and have more money to spend than U of H does. But if he could get into the $4 million range, he's right around a top 10 coach in the country. And right now he's at 3.4. You know, maybe he can get up in that neighborhood and he'll be happy. He'll be staying here until he's done and Kellen will take over. And the other thing
I can't live in a world where Kelvin Sampson leaves us.
I know. No, we don't want to live in that world.
He can't do that. You remember how terrible it was in the NBA for you, Kelvin? You told us guys wouldn't play defense because they wanted to rebound because it was in there. And I know the only reason he would consider Milwaukee is because of Giannis and the team composition is – you know, Giannis is the alpha, and Giannis is going to make sure that everything. It's probably one of the less political and less BS jobs you have. My guess is coaching.
Except look at Milwaukee. What we looked at, Budenholzer's record, and
that's very good.
Holy crap!
But he also, you know, he went out early in the playoffs and some different. Look, the
he
NBA
also won
is,
a championship a couple of years ago.
Well, this is what was so funny about Milwaukee. People saying Steven. I know, that's true. People saying Steven Silas deserved more time. Dude, what are y'all talking about? The NBA, now the NBA is getting to the point where they don't mess around. NBA will get rid of you quick. You get 2 years, 3 years, and you're done. I mean, Doc Rivers' career is about falling apart in the playoffs. And for a team who wants to win a title, I don't know that you can keep rolling with Doc Rivers. But
Ed Cooley's now at Georgetown.
So you have
didn't know.
So you have
missed that.
Who would have known that?
No, Keith.
Yeah, Keith would have known that.
Keith knew that.
But I don't. I mean, Kelvin Sampson, look, do you really want to have to deal with players on planes that are super nice with great food and five-star hotels?
Why?
And yucky.
Why?
Yeah. And there's no more Damaris?
Well, you can. I saw Kelvin and Kellen up at Wildcat the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you tell him don't go?
I did. I told him don't. Please don't leave us.
And then
coach.
Kellen's like, "Hey, this would be my job. What are you doing?
Right.
Why are you C blocking me, John?"
It will be his
C
job.
Stands for cash.
But here's the deal. I know this. That Kelvin likes it here because of the family thing he's got going on. He's got his daughter working there. His son is working there. He has said this is the best that it's been for him. I mean, how great is it to have your grandkids and everything else all around you all the time and working, and they're all making money, and it's a family type atmosphere. You're getting great players to come here. You're filling up that stadium. You're in a big city as opposed to a small college town. You got all the perks of that. He's a star here. I mean, it's a dangerous move going and talking to Milwaukee, but you know the guy deserves to get paid here, and if that's going to boost up the contract, jack that up. If that's what he had to do to jack that up, he goes and tells his players, I just did that to get more and get you guys more. I'm going to get you guys more too. Mm-hmm. And Kellen Sampson works. You know what? He's doing that. He's doing it all. He's doing an unbelievable job here. You're right. I don't want to live in that world. Mm-mm. Where Kelvin Sampson leaves University.
I love the fact that it reminds me that there's still young players who can be coached hard, and it still gives you hope that we can get back to I don't mind. Look, we live in a time where you're going to have the NIL and all that stuff, and if the NCAA had found a legitimate way to compensate players with realistic money, it was going to be hard to do because then you get sued by Title IX. This is great because the NCAA thinks, hey, now the players get paid, which they were anyway. It's all on the table. And if other sports don't get paid, oh, well, that's the marketplace. And they don't – because the fact was, one of the biggest concerns was if you give football, basketball – or football and basketball money, you have to give the women's teams. And then you have rowing, tennis. You have a lot of people saying we've got to get some too. You open yourself up for lawsuits. But I just think that for me, what's important is you just see work ethic. That's all. I'm just talking about work ethic. I want it in my own kids. Like I want to know that the young generation has some dogs who really are super competitive, who want to work as hard as they possibly can to show that they're the very best, that it's, LeBron type attitude. You can think what you want about LeBron. LeBron is a worker and a dog. He is going to fight hard. He's hyper competitive. And granted, this is one of the all-time greats, but there's a lot of guys like that. Well, there's still guys like that in the league. I want to see more of the young athletes have that same, will to be. And I do want it to get back to be less about me and more about all the fellas, like all of us, my team, because there's so much fun in being part of a team. That's such a great thing. Yep. And I think that's something we've definitely gotten away from in sports and youth sports. And I just love that Kelvin Sampson still makes it about team. Like, team's important to Kelvin, and guys buy in and make it about team. It's still fun to watch.
Yep, absolutely.
The basketball's not always great. I mean, from an offensive standpoint, when you can't shoot, let's just be real about that. Cougar shooting makes them have to work even harder defensively sometimes. They're not a good shooting team.
No, they're the work. They're a try-hard team, though, and I love that. That's old school. Kelvin Sampson brings old school approach here. I love that. Let's see. We'll go back to Gilbert on the other side here on ESPN. Oh, no. We got Clay Hensley. So, Clay, sorry, Gilbert. We went to you twice and you were snoring, okay? Boy, they started the PGA Championship. Did you see they had snow on the ground this morning up there at Oak Hill?
Yeah.
We're trying to win a major here and we got snow on the ground? What the? Just have it in Houston. Just do it in Houston where there's no snow.
Yeah.
We're guaranteed no snow.
When's the last time we had snow in the spring?
In May.
Never, ever.
Time to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. As a matter of fact, I'm talking to John Clay Wolf right now. I've been texting back and forth with him, John Clay Wolf. He's going to pay. He's going to give you a personal touch. He's going to pay attention to your deals. He is a big shot. He's doing a billion-dollar business. It's a billion-dollar business, okay? And John Clay Wolf is here for you. He is going to make sure, give you that personal touch. He is going to make sure, he's going to be on top of what's going on with his company, and he is going to make sure that you get taken care of. He is going to make sure that you get your, you type in your car, you take a picture of it, you get that to him, you tell him all the make and the model and all of the stuff. Just give him the license plate. You don't even have to have the VIN number. It's givemethevin.com, but you can just put in the license plate, and they'll know it. They'll know what your car is. And then, you know what? You tell them what you feel like it's worth. They're going to tell you what they feel like it's worth. You can haggle some. And no. It's got this. It's in mint condition. All of these things that you can talk to them about. But here's the deal. You're going to get more for it. You're going to get more for your car from John Clay Wolf because he is going to beat that deal. And if you can't beat that deal from your dealership, if you can't beat that deal from CarMax, he's going to send you $100. And he wins. He does it all the time. It's not a billion-dollar business because he doesn't want to pay you money. And he says, oh, by the way, still, there's still big, big money out there in them hills for these cars. If you're looking for the best way to get rid of that car, or truck, no matter what it is, givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Whether I be Nautica or Ralph, been a ton of cow, been around the world and I still ain't found that I ain't had yet, cause I got the access, offshore address, surf like Lapras.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
918 on the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Well, we got Clay Hensley joining us here on ESPN. He's working for AT&T Sports, not Southwest. We see him a bunch on the post-game show, and he's joining us here to talk about our Astros. Agree or disagree, Clay, that was the best win of the year last night?
That was pretty close. I think they're probably being the best one of the year. Hey, it's been a short season so far, but... so far, it's got to be the win of the year. I mean, without a doubt, like coming back like that in the eighth and then banging it out in the ninth, man, that was a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, my goodness. Down 6-1. This team just has the clutch gene. You know, in the seventh inning, here's the problem, Clay. They struggle to put innings. I mean, they'll put an inning together and then like seven or eight innings, you get just absolutely nothing. We got that last night for seven innings, Bregman's homer in the first and then nothing. And then they put but they put together a couple of innings in a row. This team does struggle to put some merry-go-rounds on in innings as opposed to just scoring in bunches.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, look, I think that you got to think about this. I mean, look, and he's going to be back this weekend with Altuve, you know, out of that lineup. He's such a big dynamic in his lineup with what he does leading off. You know, it really does provide so much protection for the rest of the lineup because – look, at the end of the day, whenever you got a guy like Altuve leading off, he goes out there. He's a guy that's a threat that can, you know, change the game in one swing of the bat, ambush you at the beginning of the game to, you know, take a game 1-0 right out the gate. It changes the dynamic of how you pitch the rest of that lineup. And, you know, furthermore, whenever you go deeper in that lineup and start going down 2, 3, 4, and 5 whole hitters with Altuve leading off, you do have to kind of pitch to these guys also because you can't keep just – you can't pitch around guys because the next guy has the threat to be able to, you know, change the game again with the one swing of the bat. So these guys, you know, throughout the lineup force you to throw strikes to them. You know, and typically I think, you know, look, well, not typically, but historically speaking, you look at this team can hit. You know, that's the bottom line. There's just injuries that are kind of plagued. Just, you know, they got the injury bug going on right now. You know, at the same time, there's also some guys that have, like, stepped up and, you know, been big surprises, obviously, for Houston. That's going to be a good problem for Dusty Baker to have, you know, whenever you do have Altuve come back. Yep. But, yeah, I honestly think that this might have been the catalyst to kind of get these guys going.
You know, you're kind of in a tough spot because I don't know that you – I mean, you work for the team, so you – or you work for the broadcast station.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how openly you can talk about this, but – it's been talked about how Jake Meyers is playing, and maybe Jake Meyers could be, you could use him as trade bait. You got Corey Lee because of Yonder Diaz doing what he's doing. Maybe Corey Lee is somebody. And yeah, that's all true. But as John and I kind of pointed out, you know, having depth is actually, you can't just look to move everyone because you're having some difficulties or some guys have been injured in the outfield, first base, been playing great. Your starting pitchers have had injuries. Sometimes you have to let the long season play out and you have to maintain depth because that is an unsung part of being a good team, is being able to withstand difficult times.
Well, no, I 100% agree with you on that note. You know, and that's what's going to be one of the things that's going to be tough for some of the players that kind of end up, you know, look, not by performance base or anything like that, but purely by, like, you know, a veteran guy that, you know, a mainstay coming off the DL or the injured reserve list and coming back and having to get pushed down or pushed out of the spot. But, you hit the nail on the head right there. You do have to maintain that depth. I think that this point of the season is not a time where everybody, you know, where you want to go out and start trading away guys because guys are hurt and they're playing well at the big league level and they've put up some good numbers so far. That does create a lot of value, though, on the trade market. So it is one of those things that I'm, you know, they're obviously going to be thinking of, but I think that's going to be, see how the season plays out towards, you know, when you start to get towards the trade deadline. And at that point, then you got to ask yourself as a team, you know, do we have enough depth to make a trade on some of these guys that have been performing at the big league level to potentially go out and get, you know, what, you know, another starter if it's needed, or somebody in the bullpen, or even another bat. So it's a good problem to have, but I agree with you on that. You have to maintain the depth throughout the long season.
Well, it'd be nice to get somebody at the top of the rotation. I don't want to just go get a fourth or fifth starter. I'm looking at the list right now. Clay Hensley with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That includes guys who might be a trade bait.
A ton of White Sox.
Yep. Dylan Cease and Lucas Giolito among them, along with Jack Flaherty. They've struggled some this season already, but you know those guys are big potential. The question is, do you give up that depth, those young guys that you've got coming up, to win again here?
Well, I think you have to. You know, I think, look, at the end of the day, the reality is whenever you have a team that has the ability to win multiple titles in a row, you know, it's like a 5-year run. And, you know, like from what I've seen, it usually goes around 5 years. Now, the thing is if you have to go and get somebody right now because you want to get rid of some of that depth, and that's what it takes, then so be it, right? Because then you'll cross the bridge down the road, I think, of going to get younger guys or trading for some other guys down the road. But right now, you got to win now. You can't really expect to, you know, try to push some things aside or not make a trade because you're worried about, like, well, we got to wait the next couple of years. Because you know what? I mean, the stars all have to align for you to get in the postseason. You got to be healthy. You got to have the right guys. You got to have everybody playing at the same time. And, you know, that doesn't happen very often. And I think that's one of the things with Houston. Everybody's kind of gotten used to them winning, which is great. But the reality of it is, I mean, like, this stuff that does have a shelf life. And hopefully it's not for a long time. But that being said, you still got to go out and do what you got to do to win this year.
Yep. We got Clay Hensley with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, Abreu's been a huge topic of conversation for the fan base. Dusty's dropped him from 4 to 5, which is nice. He's given in to lefty-lefty. Yeah, he has given in. He's given in to the lefty-lefty thing. But, you know, even at the 5 spot with the way that he's hitting, you know, Dusty really respects veteran players. But at what point do you say it's just hurting the team to have him up above other guys who should be up more times in the lineup?
Well, look, I think a guy like that with what he's done in his, you know, that's on his resume, you got to keep giving him the opportunity. Look, you went out, you got him, you made a push for him, you invested in him. You know, you got to let that investment pay off. It's one of those things with baseball that, you know, it's a long term investment, right? It's not something, you know, if it pays dividends early on, great. You know, that's a huge win. But at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be about the whole body of work throughout the season. So, you know, I think like with a guy like that, from a fan standpoint, I can understand that. Everybody's like, you know, why is this guy here? Should be having some other guys with better production in the lineup. But the thing is, from a team, you don't want to give up on a guy too early. And you know, like I said, the team made an investment bringing him over. And I think that, you know, I think he's going to probably start to smooth out here as the season goes on. And look, when it comes August, September, and he's banged out, you know, 20 home runs, 25 home runs by then, I don't think we're going to be really complaining about today.
No, Clay Hensley joins us right now and part of the Astros coverage, former Major League pitcher. Hey, curious what your thoughts are on some of these players now getting caught with sticky substances. It was funny, as soon as they started checking, we saw very few players get caught, and then we saw Scherzer caught with something in the glove. We just saw Herman got caught and suspended for 10 games the same way that Scherzer was. Are we starting to see – are Major League umpires figuring out a different way that maybe players are starting to hide some things to get advantages? Because this is baseball. That's not going away. People are going to try to get advantages. Are the umpires maybe starting to wise up about how pitchers are attacking this?
I think that the umpires, they might be getting a little, sensitive to what – I guess the sticky stuff, quote-unquote, because, look – whenever I pitched, I used nothing but rosin. You know, I never used fine tar, never did any – I couldn't doctor. My ball moved too much, so I couldn't, take a chance of it having moved more. And so, I just used rosin. But sweat and rosin for me, which was right behind the mound, legal and everything and all aspects of it, was it got so sticky on me. Like, I mean, it would get so sticky to where, like, I had it on my forearms, on both of my arms, to where after a start, 4 days later, 3 days later, shower and everything, I still had tat on my arm. And so, I think that's where we got to get to a little bit of a resolve with okay, as long as it's not we're putting pine tar, we're not scuffing balls. But, honestly, I think right now, if it was the way it is, and from what I understood, there were, some of the guys that you mentioned that got in trouble, it was just rosin. I know if it's that sticky or if they're being that sensitive to it, I would have gotten in trouble because rosin was really sticky for me, and it was all I ever needed. I didn't need anything else. So, we got to, come up with more of a metric of what is going to be okay. We do have to have some sort of grip. I think that it's gotten out of hand with the way they're kind of going about this because, if that's the case, I like pats on the ball, not to trying to manipulate it, but simply just trying to hold on to the ball. I mean, there's some places that you go that the ball's slick, and it becomes like a safety issue. I don't want the ball flying around busting people in the ear hole. And then if it's this stringent, then okay, well then why do hitters get to use, pine tar on their bats? Why? Because they can hold onto the bat. That's just simply the reason. Well, it's just kind of the same thing more so from the pitcher side. I think, it's everything's within a degree of okay, is it okay? Is it the next thing the guy's cheating? And it's like, well, is he cheating or is he just trying to get tack on the ball, which is something that should be good for baseball anyway because he adds control to it. But I think where people, it's all in, moderation. Everybody starts to use, pine tar and flick up the ball, and I never saw the benefit of it, but, for whatever reason, some guys do it.
Well, I guess what Lance was trying to ask you in a roundabout way, are the Yankees the biggest cheaters ever in baseball history? Okay. What did you think of Judge?
Yeah.
And what he did?
You saw the did you see the videos of him peeking? I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't peeking at catcher. It was looking to the dugout, and apparently Buck Martinez and Dan Shulman, by the way, highly regarded baseball people, said that had happened previously, not just the same at bat where it happened multiple times, but in a previous at bat as well. That's clearly something where he's getting something from the dugout, isn't it? Let's be real.
I would think so. I mean, the guy that's going to be throwing the ball is the other direction, right? So what are you looking at over there? I mean, but I feel like I came, but I'm probably one of the last of the old school ball players in the sense of where when a guy did that, you just ear hold him. You know what I mean? You policed it yourself, but now you can't even throw inside without them giving warning. So, and that's where hitters get more comfortable and they think they're able to do stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, a guy peeks on you, put it right in the shoulder blades. I mean, remember back in the day when Ryan pitched, if that ever happened, the guy was getting it in the ear hole. Nobody peeked on him.
No. And he wasn't peeking at the catcher and people keep on talking. Peeking used to be at the catcher. For whatever reason, he's looking at the dugout for some kind of sign.
Well, he said it was because people were talking too much.
Yeah, people were talking.
He's getting it over there and somebody, whether they whistle or whether they say judge first, it doesn't matter. He's still peeking or stealing a sign or something. So, yeah, I mean, I think that once you get a guy like that doing that a couple times, get a couple ear hole shots, probably stops looking in the dugout.
Yeah.
But that's just the way we used to play.
What is your lineup?
And it is legal. By the way, it is legal to steal signs. It's also inside of baseball, the way baseball does it, that, hey, if you start taking these liberties, we're going, and that's in other sports too. I know everyone likes to act like it's just, but there's some things in football that they don't put up with in terms of going low, certain types of cut blocks.
Yeah.
There's stuff in basketball where they think, okay, you step over me now, you can dunk and celebrate, but you step over me, you kind of cross the line from a manhood standpoint. There are certain things in other sports too that are considered out of bounds, but for some reason, baseball is the only one that people say, oh, your unwritten rules. No, okay. Yeah, it's not illegal for you to steal signs, but if you do, it's also
guess
not.
What?
It's inside of our code that we have a code too.
Yeah. Well, without a doubt, that's where some of these rule changes that have kind of happened, even where taking the guy out at second, stuff like that. We used to police it ourselves. You know what I mean? And I think that when you start getting the powers that be trying to police it for you, then everything gets oversensitized, everything gets dramatized, and then you start to lose a little bit of essence of the game. I think that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, unwritten rule. I think, as ball players, we should go out there and handle it ourselves. What's to prevent them from peeking or getting a sign from the dugout right now anyway, because there's too much of a variable to say, well, is he getting the sign? If he's not getting the sign, well, the fact of the matter is he probably is getting the sign. He's not looking at the pitcher, and there's no reason for him to be going to the dugout every pitch. So, yeah, I think we should be able to police it ourselves.
Absolutely. That's Clay Hensley with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 7-year Major League Pro, World Series champ, and AT&T Sportsnet Southwest
analyst. Did you ever win a World Series championship, even though you got multiple rings from Ring Day, John? Did you ever win one?
Yeah.
Clay has a real ring.
No, he's got...
You have... Jim Crane's bought all your rings.
Jim Crane did buy my ring. Okay. Yeah. And the owner...
It was Fromber ring yesterday.
It was...
Well, hey, in your defense on this one, I got one with Houston from last year. And, I'm just about as proud of it as I am the one in San Fran that I actually played for, because it's pretty cool.
How nice... Have you ever seen... One of the rings that they give away, those things are heavy.
I've been grabbing those for my kids, man. They got some weight to them.
Real rings.
They're like real rings, and they're like $5.
To make
funnier, hey, check this out. So my son plays baseball, and he plays with the travel team on these perfect game tournaments and stuff. He's won a couple tournaments in the last year, and they give out rings like that.
No way. Well, yeah,
like he showed me, he's got like 8 of them, and I'm like, dude, those look like real rings.
I know. Well, you can make them for whatever reason.
Well,
that
maybe
metal
if you make
is...
it, because maybe if you make it in the bulk that Jim Crane's doing,
yeah,
I bet you can't get it for $5.
No. Jim Crane could get it for $5 or these tournaments, whatever.
He's buying hundreds of thousands of rings every year.
I know. How about it? All right,
crazy.
Clay, man, we appreciate it. This is fun. 1-7 of 8 now. This team is on a roll. And beaten bad teams, which is something that they've struggled with. So, and got the A's coming in, which
bad
is the worst.
Bad teams need love too.
Listen, this is the worst.
From the Astros.
They better sweep this one because this is one of the worst teams in Major League history that's coming to town this weekend. So
I know, but hey, those are the teams that you got to still be careful for, man, because they're fighting for jobs over there. So they come in town, and I wouldn't take them lightly. But yes, it's the team that should beat and. Get another sweep under the belt, man. I think there's going to be, on a roll right after that.
Well, and historically, this is the team that the Astros struggle with. I mean, because they get up for the biggest teams, and for whatever reason, they play down, although they did take care of that Cub business. Love that. Hey, Clay, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Time to talk about Craig DeCerf now.
Yeah, time to talk about some of the offers they have going on over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And Craig DeCerf, Rick Drenner, the entire crew over there, they make sure that they are finding you the best options for you. What is it that you want? What's best for you? You're the one who really determines that, and they help put you in the right direction. If you are looking for a vehicle that has a very classy design on the interior and the exterior, but you don't need something too big, let's say you were a five-person family, and now you're four. Maybe somebody moved out, or you've got a kid that went to college, has their own car. Maybe you want to go from a larger SUV to a smaller one. How about the new 2024 Encore GX? It's got the first ever Encore GX Avenir, which is a really cool model of this Encore, and you can see all the great vehicle details when you go online to LanceZCars.com. It's arriving this month. So you'll be able to check it out. Standard suite of advanced safety and driver assistance features. Available all-wheel drive. They've got 11-inch diagonal infotainment screen, the largest in its class. So these new vehicles have brand-new setups and situations for you on the exterior and interior. And Buick is one of the very best at that. If you've never been inside a Buick, you'll be amazed at how beautiful it is on the inside. So that's just one of the vehicles that you need to be looking into at LandZCars.com. All the programs they have, or some of the programs they have actually, are available online. But to get a full list of programs you're looking for, whether it's a purchase or a lease, you can just head on down to Angleton or give them a call, or just start the shopping process online at LanceZCars.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. The PGA Championship is underway at Oak Hill, despite the weather delay. They had frost all over the course, but they're in just shirt sleeves now. So it looks like the weather has cleared up a little bit. It was cold, and now it's nice. But I'm in a fantasy league. One of the guys you pick seven guys each week, and one of the guys I took was Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson won last week on the LIV Tour. He was in shorts. It's weird watching him play in shorts. The LIV Tour lets you wear shorts. But this was the biggest reason that I...
Isn't it time that golf considered that?
No.
Why?
Because Jack Nicklaus wore pants, and we're going to wear pants, okay?
Jack Nicklaus, who cares?
It looks weird when you're watching him play in shorts. It is. It does.
Do you have to wear coat and ties?
It's not as professional.
Do you have to wear coat and ties because Vince Lombardi did or Hank Schramm did?
Back then, too? Back in the day, they used to wear a tie, you know.
But basketball after COVID is not, you don't have to get dressed up anymore. Most coaches don't. If they wear a coat,
it's not dressed up. It's wear pants. We're going to wear pants around here.
Why? Yeah.
Because it's professional. Because we're professionals, okay? That's what we're going to do. And we're not going to wear jeans. We're not going to wear shorts. We're going to wear pants.
Why?
Because that's what we do. Because we're going to look presentable. Just because now kids are in cargo shorts and whatnot and
cargo
flip-flops.
Shorts.
We're not wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops
are nothing. That's dressy. Uh-huh. You mean pajamas?
Back in the day.
Pajamas and flip-flops?
Go look at a 1930 or 40 baseball game. Everybody's in suits and top hats in the crowd.
That wasn't good.
No, it's great.
That's terrible.
No.
You want to go to a game in top hat and suits?
Yeah, that's right.
In a wool suit in the middle of summer in Houston.
That's right.
Back in the day, they also didn't have retractable roofs.
That's right.
I don't want to live in that world.
No, I want to live in that
world.
I'm
south.
Okay, where everybody dresses up and looks nice. Okay, we look nice for church now. We're not wearing jeans to church or shorts.
I don't know if you've been to church lately.
I have been.
It ain't always nice.
But the reason that I took Dustin Johnson this week is because he's back from a back injury. He had a back injury.
So
he revealed why he had a back injury at his press conference.
What'd you do to your back? What is tweaking?
I was pulling a muscle. Lower back.
Swinging a club or lifting up a kid?
Yeah, I was lifting up a kid. Just a bigger kid.
He was lifting up a bigger kid, maybe Paulina, and...
Well, it could have been one of his boys where he would, like, threw him into some water or something.
The look on his face, he was lifting up Paulina.
That's what you get out of it.
No. Everybody got that out of it. That's why there was laughter. It was a bigger kid. It was Paulina, and they were doing stuff. So if you get injured, I don't know how Chaz got injured or blinded.
You don't have to brag.
Okay.
You don't have to be
a
bragger.
Humble brag. It's a humble brag.
You don't have to be a bragger.
Well, here's the deal is.
Yeah, you're married. That's not. Well, actually, is he married or not? No, I don't think they're married.
I think they might have had a ceremony.
Can she get his common law? Can she common law him and take his
money?
Oh,
absolutely. They've been together for a long time.
So she could still get his.
I think they are married now. But it doesn't matter to me. You know what? I like that. He's getting injured in the right way. Okay. In a good way.
Well, maybe Cardinals got injured in the right way. You were making fun about a massage therapist breaking his ribs.
No, actually,
maybe Cardinals told
you
that.
I know it's a fact. Actually, it was a female who broke his ribs. It wasn't not in a good way. Not in a good way. Not in a Deshaun way. It wasn't that kind of massage.
I don't think they consider that a good way either. I don't think the people giving Deshaun the massages thought that was a good way.
As a matter of fact,
I think a lot of them
got
filed
paid for
lawsuits.
It, didn't they? They got
a
paid.
Lot of yeah, but I think a lot of them said, "Hey, once again, I am a secretary, or once again, right. I am a Pilates instructor. I'm not classically trained for massages.
Yeah, right, right.
And
right.
By classically trained, I mean trained
at all. Well, I just he's heroic. If you want to know, to me. Now, you should be able to, at his age, you should be able to pick up your wife when you're, but it could have gotten, hey, who knows what was happening at the time? Could have been wild in there. I don't know. All I know is that that's one of the best reasons I've ever heard for an athlete getting injured.
What's the worst?
Oh.
There have been video game injuries where people hurt their wrists and hands from playing so much
Jeff
video.
Jeff Kent falling off his truck washing, he said he fell off his truck washing, and he was driving around on his motorcycle, I guess, and he got injured.
Yeah, yeah. He lied.
Yeah.
Oh, John Smoltz ironing himself.
Yeah, right.
But that Smoltz that did
stupid.
That?
Stupid. Or
that's the guy who's so smart on broadcast.
What about a guy who broke his toe, stubbed his toe on his suitcase? You know, I mean,
well, that could happen.
Yeah, but that's a stupid reason to be hurt.
Well, but ironing yourself—if you missed time because you ironed yourself. I mean, that's really dumb. I can't believe that was Smoltz that did that. Maybe Brad Woodall would do something like that, but John Smoltz?
Yeah.
I can't believe John Smoltz would hurt himself that
well,
way.
But see, which is a better way? Picking up Paulina or that?
Well, yeah, no one's, if that's what he was doing.
Well, he said that's what he was doing. I mean,
he didn't say it. You're saying it.
No, that's pretty much what he said. That's pretty much what he
but
said.
But what if he was picking, what if he was picking her up like they were goofing around? And he is going to, like he was just picking her up to
Lance,
throw her in the bed and they were wrestling.
It. He had that look in his eye.
Yeah, because he's trying to be cool. Yeah. What if it's the same thing? He got run over by his kid on a bike.
You ever heard Dustin talk before? I don't know. He makes stuff up. I don't know. I'm pretty sure this is what happened. And I'm proud of him.
Hasn't he been in a little bit of trouble with some?
Yeah. Yeah, he got. Well, we don't know. He said he fell down the stairs, and that's what we're going to go with. Okay.
Who?
Dustin Johnson said he fell down the stairs before. That's why he was out of the Masters that time, not because of that other stuff.
Oh, fell down the stairs. So now we're believing him?
Yeah.
So we're going to – okay, then he got hurt picking up a big kid then.
Yeah. Right.
Are we going to believe him or not believe him? Which one?
We're going to believe that we don't believe what he said. That's what we're going to believe.
All right, cheer
okay.
up.
All right. News a little weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Biggest by volume and the best. Okay. That's what Houston Powder Coaters is. Houston Powder Coaters does this. They do this every day and they do it in volume and they do it the best. And I've been there. I've done that. I've seen it. It's right there on the Hardy Toll Road. It's a beautiful facility. It's a wonderful, it's huge with giant ovens. I don't know. They got like 6 acres there of different, and there's car parts and there's patio furniture and all of these other metal things, refrigerator or whatever it is that you're trying to keep. You might have an old refrigerator or an old gas pump or an old whatever it is that you have that's metal and you want to keep it. You want to have it around. You want to pass it down. Well, if you're going to keep it, if it's rusty, if it's old, if it's, you know, it's just not, usable anymore, they fix, they primp, they prime. They get that rust off, and they make it look like it's new again. They'll even, if you have a business, they will come to your business. They will fix that rusty fence or that rusty furniture that you have at your business. They will do it there as opposed to picking it up and delivering it absolutely free to households. So if you're somebody that has something that you want to keep forever that you love that's metal and you want it to look great again, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Lance just told me during the break that you took some cryogenics, right? You were in that cryogenic thing for a couple minutes?
Cryotherapy.
What is it?
Oh, yeah, cryotherapy.
Cryotherapy.
Where it's cold,
where it's cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
2 minutes.
So,
felt like 2
USA,
hours.
USA News just came out with the 10 best cities, places to live in the United States. You know what number one is?
Alaska.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I can tell you for a fact that no one who voted on this or who put this together has lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Where did it come from? Where did this list come from?
U.S. News.
And
U.S.
World
News
Report.
And World Report.
They're still around?
Green Bay, Wisconsin was one. Huntsville, Alabama, two.
What?
Raleigh, Durham. Boulder, Sarasota, Naples, Portland, Charlotte, Colorado,
Naples,
Fayetteville.
That's where they're having all those problems with Cheeto and Gennaro and Don Pietro.
Oh,
why
no.
would I want to go to Naples and get
No, Naples,
murdered?
Florida.
Oh.
Not that one.
Well,
no,
still, which is worse? Naples, Florida with the gangs?
Way
with
worse.
The mafia stuff?
I'd rather
Naples,
live in
Florida.
Naples, Italy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Naples, Florida. I don't know anything about it, but it's probably dangerous. It's Florida, RJ.
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Which puts you all under a big blanket.
Green Bay, Wisconsin is the number one
yeah,
city.
Yeah, that immediately lost
immediately.
Our credibility.
Because I live there, worst place, the last place I would ever, ever, ever live again. Apparently, you can watch this. Actually, you can find this in Tampa. A driver stopped on a busy Florida highway for a turtle crossing, and he caused a multiple vehicle crash. Stopping? Would you stop for a turtle crossing on a highway?
Well, no. I mean, I might slow down. I don't want to run over it, but I can't. Like, stop
he
with a bunch of cars.
On a highway.
Like, locking
yes.
your brakes up? No, I just... All I got to do is
what
make
do
sure
do?
My
what
tires...
If it's what if it's a whole family crossing the road? A whole family of turtles.
Just try to do limited damage. Like, somebody's getting squished.
You're too dumb
a
to live, turtle.
Turtles?
Sorry.
Do they travel like
in a lot,
ducks?
Yeah, like ducks.
I would say, look, I can get it in between the wheels. You should... The turtle should be fine.
It, what if it's a line of them across the road?
Then you just stay in line and just
squish,
one of those turtles.
Squish,
maybe
squish.
Two turtles get whacked.
Squish, squish, squish.
Yeah. I'm not starting a pile up.
Yeah, right. And, right. An Alberta UCP who works in the government. She's a candidate. She says she's sorry for comparing transgender students to feces in food. Do you feel like transgender students...
Good luck of getting the... Getting
she might
votes
win.
From the
who knows?
No, she could.
She
but
could
I'm
win.
Saying she's probably not going to get a transgender vote.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be hard to vote against your best self-interest on that one.
She might win. Bud Light is launching a camouflage bottle campaign.
Pretty sneaky.
Pretty.
Hey, you guys see this camel?
What kind of beer is that? Don't worry about it. It's camouflaged. It's not a bad move, actually.
No, it's subtle but not subtle at the same time.
Yep.
I mean, camouflage is supposed to, you know, hide and deceive and cover up.
It's a good move by Bud Light.
I see what they're doing.
Because they're dumb.
I see what they're doing.
A Chinese comedy troupe has been slapped with a 2 million won fine in China because they made fun of the military. Do you feel like if you were a comedian...
Now, 2 million won from watching TV shows, I know that that's not as much as you think.
No.
I think it is, it still might be 20,000.
20,000. That's pretty.
It's a lot.
I
think it's 1%.
You find it might be hard to make a living as a comedian in China?
Yeah, no, you can't. You gotta,
hey, how about Hong Kong, everybody?
Yeah. Whoa, what a bunch of losers. Yeah, you gotta pick your targets and stay on the targets.
I think it's easier.
Don't
to be,
go off script.
Easier to be a comedian here, isn't it? Isn't it though?
Don't go off script. No.
Hey, we're done. We will talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. You are getting some shots, and you're doing it.
Yeah,
from
MedSpa's been. Yeah, she's been great, and she is. Well, actually, you don't have to go in every week. What they do is on MedSpa with the it's the same stuff that's found at Ozempic, which has been. This huge, hugely successful medicine for people who have diabetes, which I don't have, but then the FDA approved it also for weight loss. And it's What it does is it regulates blood sugar, and she can explain it to you, but if you qualify for this, if you're somebody who qualifies for it, you end up getting your medicine, and then you can just give yourself the medicine at home. So you don't even have to go in every week. It's not one of these things where you're like, ugh, I got to get up and go in and find time to.
And you feel different?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. So it's something that really makes a big difference. You start seeing results. Some people have results. And she also will lock in, and the doctor will lock in the amount that you need, too. So they're making adjustments for me. And so it's really great. She's been fantastic. They have a lot of different other things. But for men, for women, this is huge for men right now.
Yep. So if you're a guy and you want to lose some weight, or you want to get rid of that hair, if you want to get a facial, if you want to get Botox, whatever it is that you want to get, you want to feel better, look younger, 975medspa.com. That's 975medspa.com.
She's that right. She's the queen, and we're the sorry people.
ESPN 97.5.